I don't know why I didn't try the Lord many years ago. It would have saved me so much misery. My foolish mind couldn't find what it was really looking for. Now it's a good life living for the Lord.
It's a Good Life, a program brought to you by Lewis Woodard Ministries of Fruitland Park, Florida. I'm your speaker, Lewis Woodard. Let me invite you to stay with me for these next few minutes for Bible study, fellowship, and prayer. Why? Because it's a good life. We've looked at 1 Peter chapter 1, and now we want to look at 1 Peter chapter 2. Let me remind you that the book of 1 Peter was written around AD 67 or 68, and it was apparently during or just previous to some major persecution that was taking place. Peter reminds the people to have joy during tribulation because that brings honor and glory to the Lord. And it doesn't mean that he's happy about us going through having problems or going through tribulation. It simply means that when we suffer for the Lord, we should look up and keep the attitude that God is being glorified, that what we're doing is right and pleasing in his sight. And we also have seen in the introduction to the book of 1 Peter that this setting, it was written to Christians, both Jews and Gentiles. And of course, we saw that the author of 1 Peter, of course, is the Apostle Peter. When I titled the first two chapters, Elected Foreigners, and the reason I did that is because in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. And these were the five Roman provinces, and they are now modern-day Turkey. Well, these were strangers. These were pilgrims who were scattered about. These were Christians. And you know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20, the Bible says, Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead be you reconciled to God. We are also foreigners and strangers. We are elected foreigners, just as these people were back in the book of 1 Peter that Peter is writing to here. We are ambassadors. An ambassador is one who actually represents someone, the hierarchy of a foreign country. And we know the hierarchy, if I could use that term, that who we represent is none other than God himself. We are ambassadors for Christ, and we're here to represent him. So actually, we could say that the book of 1 Peter is written to us. We are foreigners. This world is not our home. And I'm sure you've heard the old hymn, This world is not my home, I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. And that's the way it is with us who are saved people. We are ambassadors for Christ, and this world is not our home. Well, now let's look at 1 Peter chapter 2. And I would title the first three verses here, A Call to Spiritual Growth. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1, it says, Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile, and hypocrisies and envies, all evil speakings. This is to grow spiritually, and to grow spiritually, we must lay aside all malice. We must lay aside deceit. We don't want to be deceitful. We don't want to try to fool people. Hypocrisy, trying to be something that we're not, presenting a false image of who we really are. And he says, lay aside the envy. Don't be envious of other people. We are to try to emulate our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we can do that because we are saved. And all evil speakings. We shouldn't say things that are hurtful and mean and critical to the people of this world. We're here to serve our Lord. And the Bible says that he came to seek and to save those who are lost. And as his ambassadors, we are to do the same thing. And we need to watch our tongues. And once again, we go back and read the book of James, and it talks about the tongue as evil. The natural tongue, uncontrolled, is it's something that only through the Lord, through his guidance and through his spirit, can that tongue be controlled. And we need to watch what we say. And then we see in verse 2, it says, As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. There are certain reasons that we need to do certain things, and we need to look to the Word of God so we can grow. To grow spiritually, we should long for the Word, as it says in verse 2 there. Newborn babies who desire milk, and of course, that's how a baby is fed. Of course, we know this, that a baby is brought into this world and that baby desires milk, the milk of nourishment. And Peter here is likening that to the Word of God for the Christian. As we get saved, we are to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, and we are to desire the sincere milk of the Word of God, the Bible. And that's the reason I say it's so important for the people of God to stay in the Scriptures, to study what He has for us who know Him as Savior. Well, verse 3 goes on to say, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Now, go back to verse 2, and let's read those two verses together. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. This is motivation. Motivation to desire the Word. And this comes from verse 3, the motivation. If we have already experienced the Lord's divine mercy, if we've been saved, then we know that He is gracious. We know that we need to be in the Word, and by being in the Word, we gain more knowledge of knowing about His graciousness. And the Bible says the more we read, the more we study, and the more we get close to the Lord, the more we become like our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And of course, we're not going to be completely like Him until we are with Him. The Bible says it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. Well, then we move into verse 4, and I would say from verse 4 through verse 10, now I would say our privilege in Christ is seen in these verses. Verse 4 says, to whom coming, as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. And this is speaking of Christ, of course. And this is a description of Jesus, a living stone. This is seen all through the Old Testament. Remember when the Israelites were marching through the wilderness, how that they needed water, and that water came from that rock, the stone. And that was a typification of Jesus Christ. He gives the living water that helps us to not only to be saved, but to keep growing in Him and learning more about Him. And notice here, rejected by men, disallowed indeed of men, that verse says, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious. You know, one thing that really bothers me is when someone says something against my Savior, Jesus Christ, when someone takes His name in vain. Why? Because first of all, He loved me, He gave His life for me, He died for me, and in the sight of God, He's precious because He is His only begotten Son. Verse 5 says, ye also, as lively stones like Christ, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. There's two metaphors here used to describe Christians in this verse. Living stones. This is being built up as a spiritual house. It's building upon the foundation of the Lord. You remember, Christ said, upon this rock I will build my church. He wasn't speaking of Peter. He was speaking of Himself. And as we, the people of God, grow, we are the church of the Lord. We are the church of God. We are the church, the living stones. Now, I'm not talking about a denomination. I'm speaking of the Christian people who name Jesus Christ as Savior. Living stones, the Bible is telling us here in verse 5, built up as a spiritual house. And also, a holy priesthood. This is offering up spiritual sacrifices to God through Christ. Remember, just as there's nothing we can do to be saved on our own, works, doing things for others, turning over a new leaf, being good, and so forth, trying to do this on our own, we can't go to heaven that way. And we really can't serve the Lord as Christians unless we are willing to serve Him in the way that Christ wants us to serve Him. We serve through Christ. There's no other way to serve God. We must go through the Lord. And then in verse 6, in the first part of that verse in 1 Peter chapter 2, it says, "Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture." Keep in mind all these verses that we've read here now, especially these last few verses. It says, "With these things in mind, wherefore? Because of this also it is contained in the Scriptures." This is why we do this. Prophecy, foretelling the laying of a chief cornerstone, is what it's speaking of here. And as we look back, we understand that the Scriptures, remember we studied this in chapter 1 about the Old Testament prophets, how they looked into the things of God, how that they prophesied of the coming Messiah. They didn't understand everything, but they knew that Jesus Christ was coming. They knew that the blood had to be shed. And if you go back and read Isaiah 28:16, you'll read about the chief cornerstone. You'll read about the Lord. All through the Old Testament, we have a picture of the Lord coming into the world, living, giving his life for us, being killed, buried, and resurrected. And then in the rest of that verse in verse 6, let me read all of that verse together along with verse 7 now. "Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallow, the same is made the head of the corner." And that means those people who have not believed, therefore which believe he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient. The disobedient are the ones who do not do what he wants them to do, and of course he wants them to be saved. He wants people to come to a saving knowledge so that one day he'll be able to look at those people and say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Well, you know that I want to serve the Lord, and the way that we as Christians can serve the Lord and know what to do, once again, is to get into the Scriptures and listen to what the Scriptures have to say. And verses 6 through 7 talks about the chief cornerstone, elect and precious. Jesus is precious in God's sight. And I want you to know today that you too are precious in God's sight. You have been born again. You've been saved because you've trusted Jesus as your Savior. And if you've not done that, you need to do that so you can also be precious in God's sight. He wants to welcome you one day into his glory. He wants to say to you too, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And the only way that we can experience that is by trusting Jesus Christ. "Lord, come into my heart. I receive you as Lord and Savior." If you've not done that, why not do that right now? Ask Jesus to save you. And if you are saved, you need to be living for him, trusting him, letting him guide your life.
You've been listening to It's a Good Life. To request a free transcript of this program, you can write to Dr. Woodard at 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. That address, once again, is Dr. Lewis Woodard, 497 Judith Avenue, Fruitland Park, Florida, 34731. You may also visit our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. Until the next time, this is Doug Anderson reminding you, it's a good life living for the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.